Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another fantastic episode on the Silsila The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we are hoping that yourself and your family members are safe and sound. And don't forget, when you're making dua for yourself, for your family, for your community, then remember the ummah in your duas as well. As you know, that many Muslims out there in the world, in some place, are going through different types of challenges, trials, tribulations, financial problems, medical problems, and even spiritual problems as well. So make dua for them, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to grant them ease, to grant them speedy and complete recoveries, and to grant them protection against evils out there, even protection against oppressors. So make this dua. Try to make it every day, inshallah azza wa jal. This is in our own benefit for making dua, or by making dua for other Muslims without them even knowing about it. We have a wonderful topic today, and we're going to be talking about something which is regarded as part of the foundation of Islam, part of the foundation of the life of a Muslim. We're going to be talking about purity is paramount. To remain pure and clean and tidy, this is one of the great teachings and encouragements of Islam from the very beginning. So we'll cover some aspects of this, inshallah, azza wa jal. Before that, let's remember the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make those good intentions. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the Silsila of Madani channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of Deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. There are so many wonderful blessings for those Muslims who are fortunate in reciting large amounts of durudipa, salawat and salutations upon the crown of creation, the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the ummah, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the commander of the believers, Amirul Mu'mineen, the second Khalifa of Islam, the second successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our master, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He states that indeed dua remains suspended between the heavens and the earth, and nothing from it ascends until you send salat upon your prophet, until you send durood upon your prophet. Whenever you are making dua, whether it's a short dua, a lengthy dua, then be sure to include at least one durudipa. That would be the difference actually. If you want our duas to be answered, so be sure to do this. Be sure to make sure that we also transfer and transmit this knowledge to other Muslims, starting in our households, with our children, with our spouse, our siblings, our parents as well. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. We have a splendid kalam which we will listen to now. And when you listen, then listen so that the love of the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further develops in your heart. So listen with good intentions and we'll be right back. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mola, 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 M سبحان الله 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 اے خالق مالك رب العلا سبحان الله سبحان الله تو رب ہے میرا میں بندہ تیرا سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله ہم مانگتے ہیں تو موتی ہے ہم بندے محتاج تیرا ہر شاہ و گدا محتاج تیرا ہر شاہ و گدا سبحان اللہ 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 سبحان ہم کہر کرے تو مگر کرے اللہ 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 ہم جرم کرے تو عفو کرے ہم کہر کرے تو مگر کرے گھیرے ہے جہاں کو فضل تیرا گھیرے ہے جہاں کو فضل تیرا سبحان اللہ 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 ہم عیبی ہے ستار ہے تو ہم مجرم ہے ہم عیبی ہے ستار ہے تو ہم مجرم ہے غفار ہے تو بدکاروں پر بھی ایسی عطا بدکاروں پر بھی ایسی عطا سبحان اللہ 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 تو والی ہے گھر بے کس کا تو حامی ہے گھر بے بس کا تو والی ہے گھر بے کس کا تو حامی ہے گھر بے بس کا ہر ایک کے لیے در تیرا کھلا ہر ایک کے لیے در تیرا کھلا سبحان اللہ 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 سبحان سبحان اللہ تیرے عشق میں روئے مرغ سحر تیرا نام ہے مرہم زخم جگر تیرا نام ہے مرہم زخم جگر تیرے نام پہ میری جان فدا تیرے نام پہ میری جان فدا سبحان اللہ 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 سبحان خالی جھولی لایا ہے یہ سارا رد کا رحمت عالم کا دے صدقہ رحمت عالم کا سبحان اللہ 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 مولا مولا مولا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم SubhanAllah Azzawajal, MashaAllah Azzawajal. What a beautiful kalam. You know, it's kalams like these that will motivate us to further develop the ishq, the mahabba, the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love for Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, the grand green emerald dome. And SubhanAllah, we have so many options available. Why will a Muslim choose to fill their ears with the filth of music, with the dirt and with the sin of music? And so many beautiful, wonderful options are available in the form of Hamd Sharif, Naat Sharif, Manqabat, Munajat, SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. We had the beautiful site of Medina Tayyiba, Masjid al-Nabawi, the grand green dome of Medina Sharif. And SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us there time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif, Hajj and Umrah time and again. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, we're talking about purity, cleanliness, tahara. And purity is paramount for every single believer out there. This is a built-in thing. This is built into Islamic teachings. Purity, hygiene, cleanliness, neatness, tidiness. This is natural for a practicing Muslim. There are so many wonderful ahadith with regards to cleanliness. I will give a few examples. And to further motivate us to keep ourselves pure and clean and tidy as well. The beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, cleanliness is half of Iman. And furthermore, indeed Islam is a pure and clean religion. Another narration says that Allah Almighty has kept the foundation of Islam upon cleanliness. So you should also acquire purity. For only the one who is pure and clean internally and externally will enter Jannah. We're also advised that keep the clothes that you wear clean and look after your rides, and your outward appearances should be so clean that when you go among the people, they honor you. Allama Abdul Rauf Manawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that this hadith indicates to the fact that one should avoid all such things that people show dislike towards. The people of authority and the scholars should especially avoid them. So think about this, that Islam is teaching us cleanliness is half of Iman. Showing its importance, that dirt and filth and odors and bad smells, whether from the body, from the clothing, from the mouth, these things don't have any place in Islam. I should strive, I should work on myself. This is part of your self-development, to always ensure that I'm wearing clean clothes, that I'm wearing clothes that smell good. So this is where itr, fragrance and perfume comes in. You don't have to buy a perfume that costs thousands or hundreds. No. I mean, itr, buy a bottle of itr. You know, if you like the smell, maybe musk or something like this. And put it on yourself. Put it on yourself so that you smell good. This is a teaching of Islam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam absolutely loved itr. Loved good smells and perfumes. Although from his blessed body, naturally a beautiful fragrance would be emitted. His blessed perspiration also emitted a wonderful, beautiful fragrance. This is not something you're making up. This is recorded by eyewitnesses, ear witnesses, people who were there, people who witnessed it themselves. That, you know, the perspiration of the Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, used to smell so fragrant, so beautiful that they couldn't get that smell anywhere else. So pure. He is the one who is the purest in creation, the cleanest. He is the master of those who are pure and clean. He is the leader of those who are ma'asoom, the leader of those who are incapable of committing sins, who are sinless. Remember, ma'asoom are only the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal, the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and of course the angels as well. They are ma'asoom. They only are incapable of committing sins. And who is their leader? My master and your master. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to guide us, to show us the way, the right way, the best way, how to live this short life to gain the maximum benefit. Out there, especially since social media platforms are very influential to make a person's mind, and the influencers out there, all those individuals, you just have to think about it. Just have a look and you'll see that their primary motive is to influence a person to only worry about the short life. Because you take nothing with you. When your eyes close, you take nothing with you. But Islam is holistic. Islam wants you and I to live the maximum in this short life, at the same time to prepare for the grave and the hereafter as well. Not just to think till the end of this life, but to have that insight and foresight to prepare what is coming. Al-Maut, death. And not just that, but to think about the hereafter, salvation there as well. This is Islam. Once there was a crow and a pigeon that became friends. A person observed this and was amazed. The person was thinking to himself that, you know, how? The pigeon, you know, it's different from the, they both are distinct, the crow and the pigeon. How did they become friends? How did they get together and aid each other? After pondering for some time, he came to this realization through his observances that the pigeon was lame and the crow was also lame. So this common attribute of theirs made them get together to aid and assist each other. This is how they became friends. And as it is mentioned, that al-jinsu yamilu ila jinsihi, everything is inclined towards its own kind. So to what, to whom should I be inclined? I must be inclined to the Quran. I must, as a Muslim, I need to be inclined to the Sunnah. It is a complete and comprehensive way of living the best, most perfect lifestyle. It's an everyday thing, every moment thing. It's a private thing, it's a public thing. How you inside, you outside the same. That is the Sunnah, that is the Sharia. It's not something hidden away only to be practiced in the privacy of your home. You're a Muslim inside your home and you're a Muslim outside your home as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Islam places, if we take this one aspect, many things, there is emphasis, there is encouragement, there is motivation to do or not do. And since we're talking about purity, tahara, cleanliness, hygiene, today, this is one great aspect of Islam which is highly encouraged. In Islam, we are actually taught, we are taught that, you know, before you eat food, make wudu. What is wudu for eating? It's not referring to the wudu that we make for salah or to touch the Quran. No, this wudu is different. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, making wudu before and after eating removes dependency. And it is from the sunnah of the messengers alayhi wa sallam. And furthermore, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his well-being in his home, that person should perform wudu when food is presented and also when it is taken away. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. This is a teaching of Islam. We don't need this expert and that expert to tell us that wash your hands before eating. Because you're touching so many different things, so many different items, your hands are going to get dirty. Germs are going to be on your hands. So wash your hands before eating. We don't need anybody else. If we take out some time to learn this beautiful deen, to learn the sunnah, to learn the teachings and values of Islam, it, believe me, it is sufficient. It is sufficient. Others are copying us. Others are copying us. But not on the name of Islam. On the name of science, on the name of research, on the name of the experiments. They're actually implementing the sunnah. Many aspects of the sunnah, many aspects of Islamic teachings and values. After they research and experiments, then they will have to come back to the teachings of Islam. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that making wudu before and after eating removes dependency, and it is from the sunnah of the messengers. And furthermore, subhanallah azza wa jal, we are taught, Allahu Akbar, that the person who performs wudu before eating, then performing wudu before eating is one virtue. And performing wudu after eating is two virtues. So what does this refer to? It refers to washing the hands thoroughly. Even in between, you know, subhanAllah, how wonderful is our deen? That during wudu, 5 times a day at least, a person is doing this as well. Have you ever thought about it? Khilal, that is, you know, passing the wet fingers between the other. So yes, dirt could also end up here. Others who don't have this concept, they don't do things like this. They don't clean even in between. Leave the normal shower. Before we get to that. So wudu for eating means washing the hands thoroughly. And also washing the front part, the mouth itself. SubhanAllah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this wudu for eating, before and after eating, it expands sustenance, risk, income, and it distances Satan, the cursed and humiliated one, Iblis. So imagine, just by, it seems so simple. So simple. We're just touching on one thing, which is washing the hands before and after eating, because it is a sunnah. Because who told us? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Not science and A, B and C. No. We have everything we need to live the best life to the maximum in this short life. We have all of it in the Quran, in the Hadith, in the Sunnah as well. Islam is the most practical way of living. What you learn, you do. You learn how to pray, you do. You learn how to eat and you practice. You learn how to sleep, you learn how to talk, you learn how to walk. You learn how to converse with each other. You learn how to do a proper business deals and transactions. You learn what and how to fulfill rights of each other, whether your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your children, your neighbors who are near, your neighbors who are far, meaning your community. Some teachers A to Z, every facet. Subhanallah. So we are taught this. Before eating, wash your hands. Now some people, by mistake, they're going to eat. They wash their hands, okay? And then they go and wipe their hands on the towel. This is not the way. Many a times there's one towel that is used by several people. So if I'm trying to wash my hands and free it of dirt and or germs, and then I use the towel and I add all those germs and dirt to my hands and then go and eat, defeats the purpose. What the Islamic teach, even if you take a new towel, or a paper towel. What is Islamic teaching? Islamic teaching is wash your hands, then eat. Don't wipe it. After you eat, wash your hands again. Then you can wipe it. No problem, no issue. SubhanAllah. So, one of the other beauties of Islam is that it is the most practical, most pragmatic. Another beauty of Islam is a person attains physical benefit as well as medical benefit and spiritual benefit as well. So we're not just confined to this short world, but also to the grave and the hereafter as well. Just look at this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the way of attaining blessings, barakat, in food is to perform wudu before and after it. Before eating, after eating. So, barakat and blessing is not something like physical. This is spiritual. Distancing yourself from shaitan is something which is spiritual. You can't see shaitan. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, by getting blessings in the food, by earning one virtue, because of washing before eating, and two virtues because of washing after eating also. So the thawab to be gained, the thawab is a currency of the akhirah. That is something spiritual. Yes, you're physically getting purity by washing your hands, but at the same time, you're earning thawab. You're earning rewards. You are expanding your rizq. You're distancing yourself from shaitan. You are allowing those barakat and blessings to enter into your home, into your life, in your food as well. So, physical, medical, spiritual benefits are there. But remember, we must do it with the correct intentions. Do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do it because it is a sunnah. Whatever we are doing. And then automatically, the physical, medical benefits, they will accompany that. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We just talked about wudu for eating. What about wudu for salah? Besides, for a Muslim, besides your normal shower and bath that you take, a Muslim is the cleanest person you're going to find. But a Muslim who is practicing the teachings of Islam, not one who doesn't read salah, who doesn't worry about tahara and purification, doesn't worry about the sunnah. Think about it. Besides your normal shower and bath, a minimum of 5 times a day, at least, a person is having ablution, is washing themselves, washing their hands, washing their arms till their elbows and beyond, washing the entire face, for men, their beards as well, washing behind the ears, in the crevices of the ears, on the nape, washing the feet, up to including the ankles and above that. This is happening 5 times a day at least. SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. Where else are you going to find this? This is why some of the historians, they say that if you look back at the dark ages, the medieval eras, I'm talking about a couple of hundred years back, the cleanest people were the Muslims. And the cleanest people are the Muslims, even to today. Those who are practicing, remember. Cleanest. Because others, they didn't have these teachings and concepts of, no, you must wash your hands before and after eating. You must wash yourself and clean yourself thoroughly when you are going to relieve yourself. They didn't have these concepts. These concepts of having a bath, of showering regularly, of ablution 5 times a day, they never had these concepts. SubhanAllah. And water wasn't, they didn't have taps and, you know, the facilities, conveniences that we have today. So Islam always was and always is and always will be the cleanest, the purest, the most hygiene. The wudu itself, subhanAllah, there too, physical benefits, medical benefits, spiritual benefits. Why we start with washing the hands? Because you're going to use those hands to wash other things, your face, your arms, your feet. You're going to wipe your head mas'h as well. SubhanAllah. And then the ghusl is there, the normal shower and bath is there. Look at the istinja. Istinja is one of the natural teachings that has always been there amongst all the prophets, alayhi salatu wassalam. You go, you purify, you make sure that no impurity must touch your body or your clothing. You make sure that not even one drop of urine must come onto your clothing or your body. How careful, how meticulous is a Muslim? Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. That you clean yourself with water. Today, okay, again, according to the research and experiments and sophistication and technological advancements, they copy Islam. Islam is the best. So they copy it, but not on the name of Islam, in the name of, you know, scientific experiments and technological advancements. They have something called the bidet. Some people say bidet, some people say bidet, where there is an instrument in the toilet that, you know, some are electronic, some are manual, you press a button and water shoots out. We had this, when we had this, I mean, even the poor person has access to this, of purifying themselves with a jug of water. Because water is the best tool for purification purposes, the best. And we have this teaching, it's a teaching of Islam. Who else teaches this? A person may laugh at your deen, your religion even teaches you how to clean yourself in the toilet. You must proudly say, what does your way of living teach you? And it doesn't teach anything. But they'll have to go to science, they'll have to go to experiments, they'll have to go to all of these other things. But we don't need those things. Our deen teaches us. How wonderful is our deen? Didn't even leave that. Teaching us, showing us that, you know what? That you relieve yourself, you purify, clean yourself. People spend so much of water cleaning the toilet and nothing on cleaning themselves. SubhanAllah. We have a short clip, a short filler. Listen carefully. Let's learn more, inshallah. We'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلْ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. That there are seven individuals who shall be granted the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day when there shall be no shade except the shade of his arsh. From amongst these seven, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, A rajulun dhakarullaha khaliyan fafadud aina. Amongst them is a man. He performs the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private and his eyes flow with tears. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, in privacy he remembers, he performs the dhikr of Allah. In privacy he sheds tears. This is not worship for the people. This is that done with sincerity. That done alone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there shall be people from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who shall come on the day of judgment. And they shall have deeds which are like mountains. But those deeds which are like mountains, they shall be scattered. They shall be scattered like dust. Why? Because their deeds were not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Their deeds were for the people. This person shall come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, I fought in your path. I performed all of this worship. I gave all of this charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall say, who did you do it for? Go ask them for your reward. Any viewers, one thing is to do things in public. It could be done to encourage others for the sake of Allah Ta'ala though. But another is having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private, behind closed doors. And if it was when nobody else is watching, that is a time for you to pray, for you to repent, control your tongue, lower your gaze, even when you are alone. Yes, public worship, brilliant, and the fara'id, of course, it must be done publicly. But it is private worship which can guarantee you Jannah, inshallah wa azza wa jal. Ultimately guarantee you a tear out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guarantee you Jannah and also the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there is no other shade. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azawajal, how wonderful is our deen, how practical is our deen. But you know, you're following sunnah, you are benefiting them. And if you make the intention, for example, I'm going to cut my nails as per the sunnah. So yes, you're benefiting because of your personal hygiene, but you're also earning thawab. You're also earning reward. I'm going to eat with three fingers. These three fingers, thumb, index, middle. Because it is a sunnah. So you're eating just enough amount of that morsel that you can chew it properly, and then this will aid in your digestion. But if you're doing it because it's sunnah, you're benefiting physically and also spiritually, because you're earning thawab for following the sunnah. So both ways, the best of both worlds. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, 10 things are from the natural disposition, meaning they were commanded in every sharia. Trimming of the mustache, growing the beard, using miswak, placing water into the nostrils, clipping the fingernails, washing the joints of the fingers, removing the armpit hairs, cutting the hair below the navel, performing istinja and rinsing the mouth. If we look at the miswak sharif alone, there's a beautiful booklet on the blessings of miswak sharif. You can download this from dawoodislami.net, or you can obtain a hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, which is the bookshop and publications department of Dawud Islami. But look at that. Look at the emphasis that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. When you awaken in the morning, use it. When you arrive from wherever it is to your home, use it. When you're going to sleep. Today we tell our kids, and people are telling us today, that you know, brush your teeth twice a day in the morning when you're going to sleep. This will help your gums and your teeth prevent it from tooth decay and gum diseases. So that's the research and experiments and observances. But they've taken actually from where? From Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized so much on the usage of the miswak. When last did you and I use a miswak? When last? And this is not something that has unnatural chemicals inside there, like the toothpaste that we have. All natural. And it's again, if a person uses a miswak and performs salah, the salah is multiplied so many times more, the thawab. So you're benefiting physically, medically, that you're using something, a natural toothbrush, to purify your mouth from whatever food particles are there, from bad smells, because the miswak helps to fight off tooth decay. It helps to also strengthen the gums. It helps also to give the mouth a very a lovely smell, a natural lovely smell. The physical benefit, the spiritual benefit. Salah, thawab is increased many times. Some narrations say 70 times more. Subhanallah, so the best of both worlds if we follow the sunnah. And again, we don't need this research and this experiment if we come back and we learn about Islamic values and teachings. Look at the nails. We just heard the wonderful clip over there. That under the nails, for those who grow their nails very long, how much of dirt gets stuck over there? How much of germs and long nails, it is mentioned. Long nails are the sitting place of shaitan, meaning shaitan sits on them. So again, it comes back to teaching us hygiene and internal purification as well from all the spiritual diseases that a person has. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us enthusiasm to practice upon this and to learn about our beautiful deen and practice as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. start your day with remembrance of Allah.